I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Joey Galvez, and I just wanted to tell you guys that this is the 1 year anniversary of the House of Indie. We started off brand spanking new with, I even had a partner. He's doing great things now, but I continued, and we just have grown exponentially. And I just want to thank everybody out there who is listening and supported, whether you have retweeted or been on the show. You guys are awesome. Thank you for listening. And here is my favorite little thing here, talking to some really cool creators. On this episode, I speak to Chris Sheehan, the co-creator of Autumnal. This is a really great book. I really hope you guys are reading this one. If you guys are not, you guys pick up the first issue. They've only got 4 out right now. You gotta grab it. So on to the show. Let's play that beautiful intro music.
We are a proud member of the Geek Collective, an Age of Radio network. How's it going, everybody? This is Joey Galvez, and you are listening to the House of Indie Podcast.
All right, everybody. Thank you for hanging out with me here at the House of Indie. And this is another wonderful episode because I've got a special guest. I've got the co-creator of Autumnal on the line. I've got Chris Sheehan. Is it Sheehan or Sheehan? Because I know some people...
Sheehan.
Okay. Because I know I've got a buddy who likes to call... He's got the same last name, but I think there's an extra letter in there. And he says Sheehan.
Yeah.
Dude, fantastic story, number one. Like, we were talking about this a little bit before. I have so many friends, and I have podcast buddies who have your book in the their rotation almost every week, as it comes out. But dude, how awesome is this? This is really cool. Artwork's amazing, man.
Thank you. Where do I start? I love spooky stuff. Alien is my number one favorite movie, and so working on something like this where the monster or the villain or whatever is always present, but you don't really see it, is something that I really love. It's all about the tension and stuff like that. So when I was approached with this book, I was extremely excited. It kind of checked all my boxes. I said yes right away.
That's awesome, dude. Super cool.
Yeah.
So tell a little bit about yourself here. This is not your first book. You've done so much work all across the board with all kinds of different indies. You've done stuff from Black Mask, Scout Comics. You even done a little thing for Upper Deck and Marvel. You've even done stuff with Ryan Little. We all know in the indie circuit, we know who that is. So dude, this is awesome. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got your start here.
Okay. I've always drawn. I feel like every artist is like, oh yeah, I've been drawing since I could hold a crayon, and I'm no different. But I was pretty young when I figured out that I really loved to tell stories. And so I was never introduced to comics growing up. No one I knew read them. And so nobody was like, oh, we got to, like, here's the comic shop and here's what a pull box is. And so I never really was around it, but I was around cartoons and movies Batman the Animated Series is huge influence for me.
Yeah.
And then like video games and stuff and movies. And I when I was really young, I wanted to make movies. And, so I did, I made a lot of like short films and things when I was a teenager.
That's awesome.
And, I made like stop motion films. I tried animation. I did a lot of different things. I wrote a script for a short film that someone else made. It was just, I never quite found my fit. And, when I was, like a senior in high school, I finally had a friend who read comics, and they introduced me to some great comics. And, around that time, I graduated high school in 2009. And, it was around that time that the first Iron Man came out. Wow. We were starting to see like the MCU building up, and that got me really excited. I wanted to know more about that. So I started getting into comics at 18. I got into them late. And it kind of just fit because I could draw and I could tell stories, and it was like a perfect fit because for me, animation was too hard.
Mm-hmm.
I have so much respect for animators, and filmmaking just, I felt like that was going to be a lot harder to break into living in some small town, and not being able to go to LA or anything. And I felt comics were a nice thing I could do to like tell stories. And I fell in love. I started reading comics at 18. I got my first little comic job when I was 19, and it was a little historical comic based on my hometown, written by a historian.
Nice.
But that, like, I really started getting into making them. I learned the tools. I figured a lot of stuff out. And it was kind of an uphill battle for me. So I ended up taking a break, and I took a few years off to just kind of, work, like have a regular job and, kind of just draw on the side when I could. And I just started missing it a few years ago. And so in 2016, I made a new portfolio. I put it out there, and that's when I started doing like a lot of like indie crowdfunded little books like that. One of my favorites that I've done is working with Ryan Little on Prometheus, and we're gonna finish that series this year as well.
Yeah.
And I got to do an awesome one-shot comic called Deadbeat with Jed McPherson. It's still one of my favorite things I've done, and I think Jed is one of the best writers that no one knows about. I've been kind of just trying to, like, at this point, like brute force my way into comics by just making as many as I can with friends that I make on Twitter and stuff. And it eventually led me to, being contacted by, Adrian at Vault about the Autumnal.
Yeah, dude, this stuff is gorgeous. I'm looking at some of your artwork now, and the covers for Prometheus and stuff like that, and they, like, the colors that you have, and they very much look like a lot of the stuff that you do with Autumnal as well. So do you tend to deal with those like darks and reds and gloomy type colors? Is that your just like process there with these covers and these colors, I should say?
Yeah, I think it's more of a comfort zone. Okay. I'm trying to break out of it, but I always fall back into using big strong reds on my covers. A lot of my covers have really strong red color. Mm-hmm. I love that, but I also my portfolio is starting to not look very diverse, so I'm trying to change that. I've been adjusting my process here and there, but I tend to love having one. I like having two colors on a cover. One that's a little bit desaturated, one that's saturated, so it pops. Mm-hmm. And I kind of do variations of that. So a lot of my covers since Prometheus are like 2 to 3 colors. Keep it simple. I think that's the stuff that pops out best on a bookshelf. big, strong shapes, nothing too complicated as far as like details go. Just strong shapes and strong colors. And I don't know if I'm right, but I that's how I like to do it.
No, it looks great. Some of my favorite red winter covers, dude, are the ones that you do. And it's exactly like you said, they're like just a two tone, or maybe sometimes there's like three, four colors on there, but there's always that bright red or that bright color and in your face. And it looks gorgeous, man. So, but I understand where you're coming from. From a portfolio standpoint, you're like, I need to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah. And since I color myself, I think it'd be good to at the very least to help diversify by having other colorists color my covers sometimes.
Yeah, I can see that, man. So I need to know, man. Are these short films that you made, do they exist out there in the ether somewhere that we can see them?
Some of them did for a while, and they eventually kind of went away. They were on like different servers and stuff, and so. They're right now in a basement on an old computer. And I don't have access to them at the moment. So
oh, man.
No one will see them, anytime soon, but my girlfriend hasn't even seen them, and I do want to show her. I like to show, like, it's fun. I did a lot of like 3D animated movies, and I did little 2D, animation, and I did like, I filmed stuff. I went like into the woods and filmed like my own little dumb Blair Witch thing. And
that's awesome.
It was fun. I loved it.
Are you ever going to try to revisit something like that?
I don't think so. I feel like learning all the new technology would take too much time.
Oh yeah.
But I would love to like work with filmmakers, you know, from a design and storyboard point of view, maybe even write something. I would love to do that, but
that'd be cool, man.
Like making my own little movies, I probably won't, but I'll for sure make comics forever. I think that's like, I'll even if no one wants to make comics with me, I'll make a bunch of my own. I love it.
So do you cross over a little bit into some writing? I know you said you've done some of that.
I want to. Nothing is published. I do have some stuff in the works, and I have some stuff that I'd like to pitch, and some of it is like really important to me. One of the first comics I ever started was something I was writing myself, but it ended up leading to getting me work, and so I never finished it, and it's at this point extremely old. But I'd love to in the next few years start adding to my portfolio things that I'm writing and drawing myself. I'm really inspired when I see writers who also draw, or artists who also write. Heathen is one of my favorite books out there. It's extremely inspiring to me to see how much Natasha put into both the writing and the art, and I'd love to do something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man. I think we'd all kind of love to see something like that come out from you. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're going to take a quick break. But after the break, we're going to get into your process here a little bit. I want to know what makes you tick when you put your pen to the paper or your pen to the screen if you're a digital worker. So we're going to take this break really quick, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more to Chris Sheehan.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, and we are back, and before the break, I told you guys that we were going to get a little bit deeper into a conversation with Chris here, and dude, I need to know, number one, before I ask this question, I know you do a little bit of traditional work, but do you have a hybrid? Do you do both, or do you just prefer one or the other over digital and traditional?
I I don't prefer one. I do both. I do have my process is usually a hybrid. Sometimes when I am behind, which I am right now, I go in and I just do just digital. I don't do much of anything else just because it's easier to stay in one place. Mm-hmm. But when I have a little more time, I love to really mix it up. I'll like scan. I'll do real drawings and scan them and alter them and put them into the digital work, or I'll do, it's always a mix of something. It's always a little different. It kind of depends on what I'm feeling. I do have a set process, but I do every once in a while introduce something that's a little different than usual just to kind of change it up. It's fun for me. So I can walk you through it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So normally let's see, I have right here. I'll normally get a script and I tend to draw all over it. My script becomes my sketchbook. I haven't really owned a sketchbook in a long time. And I'll in the script, I can't show that, but I'll do little thumbnail sketches on each page, while I read through it. I used to scan them. That took too long. So I just have them next to me. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go in digitally and do, more detailed layouts. I'll gather like reference that I need to. Mm-hmm. And, I'll also like photograph my own reference. I like to, act in front of the camera so that, it's as authentic as I can get it. Mm-hmm. So I'll go from like my sketches to my layouts, and then I'll base, the acting I do on camera off of my layouts. And then I'll use that for reference for the pencils. And then I ink. And,
that's interesting. I that's one that I haven't heard yet so tell me a little bit about that. When you mean acting, you act out the script. And then you kind of get a frame of reference what somebody would like, the blocking and what people would do in that moment.
Yeah. Wow. Because sometimes I'll draw it and it looks right. But then when I'm acting it out, I'm like, oh no, this person wouldn't do this. Or why did this suddenly switch hands? Or why aren't they leaning like this? Or, and acting it out really helps. So I film myself video. I don't take pictures. I film myself literally acting out the scene, and I'll have my girlfriend help me. Or I'll act, if she's not around, I'll act out both parts and I'll splice them together and just so I can see. And, it helps me with just like body language. I feel like, especially with a comic like this one, it's the subtle, like little emotional cues, slight little eyebrow raise, a shaking, like nervous hand. I did another comic where a guy, had a lot of PTSD and he was very fidgety, and it's hard to show fidgeting in a still frame.
Yeah. Yeah.
But acting it out helps me kind of see, which frame of this video should I draw that has the most impact on the page. And, so I act in front of the camera, and then I'll pencil it, digitally. And sometimes I'll print it out and ink it, or sometimes I'll just ink it digitally as well.
That's super interesting. And I love that because it makes sense. You know, you just, cause the, what people will do is completely different sometimes from what you can actually put down on a page. So I can understand getting in front of a camera and saying, oh, well, he wouldn't lean his arm this way, or she wouldn't sit in this way. That's not the way body works. So
yeah.
I love that. It's so simple, but it just baffles my mind that why wouldn't that just be the norm? Super cool, man. I love that process. So, I need to know, man, I'm going to ask the question again. Do those exist where we can get our hands on those, or are you just going to keep those off to the side? Those videos.
Well, I mean, like a lot of them, like I'm in my underwear, so I don't really show them. But
yeah, no, we
my girlfriend had helped me a lot with the autumnal, and she does a lot of the acting for.
Oh, that's Kat. So cool.
And she's actually posted some screenshots of her acting, with panels that they match. And it was a while back that she had posted that stuff.
That's so cool.
So I could probably, I don't know how I would show you on here.
Well, I was going to ask, how far do you go? Do you guys like, do you go far? And before you told me you, most of them you do in your underwear. I was going to ask you, how far do you go? Do you guys go so far to, you know, actually, you know, dress in character?
Sometimes, for things that I want to get right, I'll like, for Prometheus that I did with Ryan Little, mm-hmm. I based Prometheus's leather jacket off of a jacket that I owned
so that
I could wear it and see it from various angles, light it different ways if I had to, and it would come out right. And so I'll do things like that. There are things that I can draw without needing to see it, like pants. Mm-hmm. So I'm not always in pants. I can draw shoes. I can draw shirts. So that's not a huge deal. But certain specific things, sometimes if I were to have someone in a tuxedo, I would definitely want to wear something at least close to that, because the folds in a tuxedo work differently than what I usually draw or wear. So it's something that I'm not perfectly comfortable with. So I would go as far as like wearing bits and pieces of what you'll end up actually seeing in the drawing.
Okay.
But it's never like exactly the same. I know some people actually do go that far. They'll dress up, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that's
they'll even
that's
get
really
models
cool.
for photo shoots and stuff. And
yeah.
I don't do that, but I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I've seen some comic shops who pay people, or they have some of the employees dress up as characters that they are promoting that week in their shop. So it's kind of cool. People do some really awesome artistic stuff with this stuff, man.
Yeah, just the other day, a girl on Twitter did the autumnal inspired makeup.
Oh, so cool. So how does that feel, man?
It's cool.
Like to see something that you've worked on and you actually have people that are loving it, and now they're doing cosplay or makeup or different things like that of characters that were in your head, and now they're out there.
Yeah, it's cool. It's I've always thought like it's the equivalent of like being a musician and the audience is singing your song back to you.
Yeah.
There's just something really special about that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like cosplay, or at the very least, just there was a, when our book was first coming out, a girl had bought the Comfort Knot t-shirt and posed like one of our covers. And to me, that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's just so as simple as like that. But here is, let's see.
I can see it. So for the people who are not watching on our camera here,
her Twitter is, her name on here is Amy Thunderjam, and her Twitter account is If She Be Worthy. And I wanted to give it a shout out because it's so cool. I did retweet it if you go to my Twitter.
Cool. Is it, okay. Awesome. Yeah. Maybe I'll have you send that link to me so that I could probably post it with the audio of this show. So super cool, man. Everybody's process is completely different. And this is one that I've not heard yet. We're running out of time here, but before we do, tell everybody a little bit about your books that's coming out. You got Autumnal. We just had issue 4 drop, right? Is that correct? Or no,
yes.
Was it 4 or 5?
4.
Okay, so we just had issue 4 drop, and we got issue 5 coming up very soon.
Issue 4 kind of released a lot of the secrets that people might have been wondering from the first 3 issues. A lot of the secrets about the town, about Clementine Biddle, about the past, and why people are afraid of the leaves, why people are excited about the winter solstice, and so the issue 4 gets into a lot of that, and that's out now. Issue 5, that's when things start happening fast. Mm. So from 5 to the end, it'll end at issue 8. Things are going to start happening faster. A lot of bigger scares, a lot of tension, and a big ending.
So cool. I'm excited, man. I'm reading on. I'm sure that everybody out there who's listening to this, they are big, huge fans of the book. And I suggest if you guys haven't picked this one up, it's only out issue 4 right now. So pick it up. You guys can grab it out at your local comic shop, anywhere you can right now. I'm sure you can grab it from Vault if they still have copies. But you can get it on Comixology if you can't find yourself a copy right now. Dude, it was a whole lot of fun talking to you. We could have talked for hours because it's really cool. And for the people who are just listening to us, we're sitting here right now wearing the same shirt and we didn't call each other. I'm just letting you know, we're both wearing a Star Wars shirt. He's got the same exact shirt. Dude, he's got great taste. I'm just telling you, we have the same taste.
Almost the same glasses.
Almost the same glasses. He's got a cool hat. I got a cool hat. So I'm telling you guys got to check this stuff out. Okay, dude, before we go and move on here, can you tell everybody where they can find you if you have a pre-order code for issue 5, all that good stuff, plug away.
I don't have the code, but I likely will post it. So I think the best place to follow me is on Twitter.
Okay,
my Twitter is Chris Sheehan Art, all one word. So you get another S after the first S. It's Chris S H E H A N Art. And that's the same as my, Instagram. Those are the best places to follow me. I post, art, little panel snippets from the Autumnal and anything else I happen to be working on there. And, I post pictures of my dog sometimes too.
So that's good. Awesome.
Yeah.
I have issues code right here for you guys. It is DEC201751 for issue 5 if you guys want to grab that one. So head to previewsworld.com and get this one. You guys are going to want to. I guarantee it. It's going to be great. Dude, again, I thank you for hanging out here on the House of Indie. If you guys want, you guys can head on over to scoutcomics.com at checkout. Type in GEEK and get 10% off. Thank you again for hanging out right here on the House of Indie.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. All right, we will see you guys next time. We have some more amazing creators on the next episode. Stay tuned. Head on over to houseofindiepod.com and listen to all the archived episodes. You guys will not be disappointed. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to The House of Indie. My name is Joey Galvez. I will see you later.
Can you say The House of Indie?
At The House of Indie.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, 2 felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first 6 issues in a collected hardcover volume 1. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.